Well, it's definitely true, the crowds are back, are they not? If you've been in an airport lately, you know that the crowds are back. If you have been at a concert lately, you know that the crowds are back. If you have traveled down your favorite highway, US 19, you know that the crowds are back, right? Yeah, some of you are happy about that, some of you are not. Sometimes being in a crowd can be intimidating. Sometimes it can be exciting. Sometimes it can cause anticipation as the crowd gathers around something that is popular. And always this seems there's three types of crowds. Sometimes there is a crowd who is always there's a crowd that is an avid follower. People who want to follow that particular thing with all their might and all their strength. People who want to follow the person. And then there's another crowd, a crowd that is, what's happening now? This sounds like fun. Let's get involved in this. These kind of people are the people that are like, what's going on with the trend? What's going that's happening now that can help me? What's like a viral crowd? And then there's the crowd that's the rule followers, the crowd that want to make sure that things are being done particularly right. And when they're not doing it right, you're like, what are you doing wrong? For those of you new today, my name's Keith Harcombe, and it's the week before Easter, if you haven't figured that out already with Jessica's announcements yet. And it's the week when we celebrate, commemorate, perpetuate that Jesus is coming into the city on a donkey. It's Palm Sunday, the triumphant entrance. And we're celebrating and getting ready, and there's crowds everywhere. There's crowds that get us involved. And there's, you know, maybe there's a thing that you follow, and there's a group of you that follow this particular thing or person, and you are the avid followers. They're the kind of people that they know all the concerts that's going on, they know everything that's going on right now. And then there's the other crowd. There's the crowd that, well, what's happening now? It's the kind of crowd that we look to for sourcing. Have you ever heard of that? Let's crowdsource. People post on social media, people will ask other people, you know, like, how's my business doing? Is my business doing well? Tell me how we are doing so that I can be a better business. And we crowdsource. Or maybe you say, this is what I'm doing. Do you think this is a good idea? Or maybe you post yourself an address and you say, do you like this dress? What does everybody see? What do you like? Do you see a blue dress or a silver dress? And sometimes those pictures, those videos, mostly now we 85% of the things that we post are videos. 85% of the things that we get are videos. Everybody's got a video. And most of those things that we get them virally. Now, things that we get virally are things that all of you have seen, that we have all seen, and we don't even know we've seen. It's like, remember when posting videos first came out and it was popular, and you all remember the dog? Do you know if you remember the dog that talked to the dad, and the dad talked to the dog, and he was asking him where the bacon was, the maple kind? And he's like, oh, the maple kind? I like the maple kind. And everybody knows that video, right? Do you know that video? Two people, okay. I'll post it for you on Facebook. But then there was another video with his two kids together. And the son, the brother is cuddling him, and then he bites his finger, and Charlie bites his finger and says, Charlie bit me, little English kid. And these videos go viral. These videos, everybody catches these videos, and we see them, and they're popular. In fact, a video is popular or goes viral if it gets 5 million views in the first 5 to 7 days. So if we posted here and it was that good, like Chris and them, and we posted that and it went viral for 5 million people, for 5 to 7, that would be considered a viral video. But a viral video disappears after 5-7. A viral story that is popular with the viral crowd disappears after 5 to 7 days. I recently took a trip across the pond on the flight, you know, from Manchester, England to New York. And it was an 8-hour flight. And, you know, you can get Wi-Fi on a flight now if you pay for it and all that. I don't know. For some reason, people went on the Wi-Fi on the plane. And when the plane touched down on the ground, kind of thing, we'd all stand around. You know that bit where you're standing around waiting for the person to drive the gate to the door and waiting for one person to open the door so like 500 of you can get off the plane? And you're standing there and you've got your best like patient face on. I'm a patient traveler. I'm not going to get stressed about getting off the plane. Get off the plane, you know, kind of thing. You're standing there getting your bag. And I was standing there waiting to get off the plane. And all of a sudden, this guy down here opens his phone and there's a video. He's like, oh, did you see that? He was watching the Oscars. And then the next person over here opens his phone. This is March 28th. He opens his phone, same thing, oh, do you see that? And then it goes right down the plane. And that, all of a sudden, flight DL-1531, the whole plane knows about Chris Rock getting hit by Will Smith. Who didn't see that? Everybody's seen it. Yeah, everybody. It got way over 5 million views. And the whole flight, the whole of New York, everybody got this viral video. It's disappeared now. Nobody's really interested. They were trying to increase the rates so that people watch the Oscars again. Well, we have a story that went viral 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't gone away yet. Amen. There was a story about a man that was in a tomb. He was dead and gone. He was gone for 4 days. And he came out of the tomb, and this spread like wildfire, faster than any viral video that you've ever seen. A man was dead, and now he was raised. And there was a guy that raised him. He was a rabbi, a prophet, a preacher, whatever he was. He raised him from the dead, and people loved that story. I want to follow that guy. And they followed him. It was in Bethany, 2 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. And that word got out. And people were excited. The disciples witnessed the event. Some others witnessed the event. And they decided to follow this 33-year-old rabbi who did his ministry around this little sea called Galilee. And they followed this particular story. And they were excited. This was the avid crowd. These were the avid followers that decided to follow Jesus and his teachings. And it was around Passover time. So the avid followers were in Bethany. And there was another group of people in Jerusalem, 2 kilometers away. And they were celebrating Passover. Jews celebrate Passover every year at this particular time. And they celebrate the fact that the angel of death went over their homes instead of going to other homes. And he went over their homes because there was blood over the lintel of their homes. And the angel of death passed over. And every year the Jews celebrate this event. Scholars, teachers, theologians tell us that at this particular time that there was 25,000 lambs sacrificed at this particular Passover. Now, Jewish law tells us that there are allowed 10 people to each lamb. So there could have been possibly, 10 times 25,000, 2.5 million Jews in Jerusalem for Passover that year. And they heard about the story. The story was still going viral. The story was going viral about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Now, if you were a Jew, you went every year, and every year you went to Passover, you were happy. Jews celebrate, obviously, Passover now, and when they celebrate Passover, they say, this time we celebrate here, next year we will celebrate in Jerusalem. And I would say that every time. To go to Jerusalem was like the pinnacle of an event. It was like going to a Taylor Swift concert. It was like parading down the Hillsborough River with the team that won the Super Bowl trophy. Yay! Passover was this euphoric event. And the two crowds, the avid followers and the Passover crowd, or the viral crowd, the crowd that followed what was going on next, were gathered in two different places, one in Bethany and one in Jerusalem. They gathered every year. Lots of people were. And this crowd were waiting to hear of the news. They heard the news of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And this is where we are in our scripture. We're in John chapter 12. If you've got a Bible with you, open it. If you've got an app on your phone, open that to John 12, 12 through 17. That's where we are. 12 through 19 is where we are today. If you're online, just open up another tab there and follow along with me. You might have heard this before. You might have been coming every year and you know this story, but you might see something different this year as we go to the book of John. Normally, we go to Luke and it tells us the whole story. John has got something a little different in it that I want you to see. So we're in Jerusalem. And it says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. It swept through the city like a viral video. It said, a large crowd of Passover visitors, how many? About 2.5 million. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of the Jews. Hail to the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. So the next day, the day after he'd raised, I mean, I would take about a week off after I rose somebody from the dead, the next day, Jesus traveled to Jerusalem. And this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead swept through the city. No iPhones, no cell phones. It just spread like wildfire through the city that the man who had brought somebody back from the dead was coming into Jerusalem. So now the avid following crowd is going towards the viral crowd that's gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover. And these Jews, they know this stuff. They know that that when a king is coming into town, that when you're a young Jewish boy, you would say psalms. And this is one of the first psalms they learned. When you're a Jewish boy, you learn the psalms of Hallel. And the Hallel psalms are ones of praise when a king, the king is coming into the city, and this is what they said. It's in Psalm 118. Praise the Lord. Please, God, save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord God is shining upon us. And they would have been singing this, waving palms, like we were this morning when we came in. In the first service, we had the children walk around the entire sanctuary, waving psalms. It was only a smidgen of the kind of cacophony that was going on in Jerusalem. People were just so excited to see their king coming in. And they hadn't even seen Jesus yet. And yet they were proclaiming this psalm, singing it as loud as they could to each other and waving their palms as they welcomed Jesus into the city. And they said this psalm. And they knew as well, if you're a good Jew, you knew that this was the prophecy being fulfilled from Zechariah chapter 9:9. Zechariah is just a small prophet. But he said this massive thing in verse 9. He says, look, your king's coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And he will remove battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. So instead of coming in on a horse, a war horse, Jesus was coming in on a donkey, a symbol of peace. In this gospel, it says that he just got a donkey. He just happened on one. In the other gospels, there's this like intricate description of how the disciples assisted Jesus in getting the donkey. Regardless, it was fulfilling prophecy that the man Jesus, the great healer, the great prophet, was going to come into town on a donkey. And he says, don't be afraid. Even though it looks like he's coming in on a donkey, even though he's coming in on this particular donkey, don't be afraid. You're expecting a war horse, but don't be afraid. He comes to you humble, riding on an animal of peace, riding on a donkey's coat. So the people are excited. This great event's happening. And they're traveling from Bethany, the avid followers, up to Jerusalem. It's a 2.2-kilometer climb into Jerusalem. Now, Jesus isn't tired. He didn't get on a donkey because he's tired. Yeah, Jesus was a fit man. He walked 6 days sometimes with the disciples to travel from place to place. He didn't need a donkey to assist him to walk the extra 2.2 kilometers. He was making a statement. He was making a statement by getting on a donkey, a animal of peace. An animal of peace. He's saying, yeah, I'm riding in. I'm the king. But I come to you a little different from what you're expecting and a little different from what you are used to. So these two crowds, the avid followers, and they meet together in Jerusalem. And as the two seas collide, the two great waves, there's a smash of like cacophony of sounds and people and smells and loud noises as people were excited that Jesus was coming into town. And so you have your avid followers. You know what's interesting? Lazarus would have been next to the donkey walking with Jesus. I never even thought of that. Lazarus was walking with, here he is. Here's the guy that was raised. Here he is. And what's funny is that later on we find out that the Pharisees were trying to kill Lazarus. They were trying to put him to death. Lazarus is like, death got nothing on me. And they were planning on killing Jesus, of course. And there's all this anticipation goes on as these two teams, these two crowds meet together and arrive in Jerusalem. I wonder what the disciples were thinking that were in the avid crowd. I wonder what they would think. Well, verse 17 tells us his disciples didn't understand. They didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written down about him. The disciples, they witnessed the guy come back from the dead. They witnessed the empty tomb of Lazarus. They seen it. They seen the miracles. And yet now they witness Jesus getting on a donkey. They're probably like, this is not really a good way to go, Jesus. We've been following, we think of the Messiah and everything, but you know, the whole donkey thing is not really good PR. It's not going to be good for the image. And as they walk up to Jerusalem, there's all these sounds and noises. They're worried for his security. They're worried that those branches are going to hit him in the head. They're worried that the people are going to crush him and just mess up all their plans. And they don't really understand until Jesus later on sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to reveal the truth to them. He says, when I leave from here, when I ascend into heaven, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will comfort you, and you will understand all things. And they do later on. Christ sends the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit that God sent to the disciples to comfort them, to help them and help them understand what was going on, is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus now sends to you so that you would understand. Amen? And we come to him asking that we'll understand these things. And we ask him, and he comes in riding on the donkey, humble. Humble, seeking our following, seeking that we might be one of these avid followers. And so he arrives in Jerusalem. He arrives in Jerusalem to this great sound of a Psalm 118. Of course, Jesus would have known this psalm well. These are the psalms that they sang on the way to Jerusalem every year. But this is only Jesus' third Passover as a man. Of course, it would have been his 33rd Passover. But he knew these psalms. They were integral to who he was. And then it says in verse 17, many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. And then this last verse, then the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. So we know why this crowd was here. Can you imagine this crowd? They were so excited. Passover's so cool this year. The guy came in on the donkey. It was so good. We were like waving the branches like mad. It was so much fun. And this crowd were there because they'd heard the viral story. Because they'd heard the story about Jesus raising a dead man out of the grave. And they were there and they were so excited. And then we get this last crowd of people. We get this last crowd of people that John includes here. And this crowd is called the Pharisees. They're the rule-following crowd. And they look at each other, and they look at each other and say, that's it. Everybody's going after him now. We've got no chance of killing him. We've got no chance of getting him. In fact, the Greek there for everyone is the whole world. He's the whole world is going after him. And at the time, that was the whole world. Everybody in Jerusalem was conformed. You could be a Greek, you could be a Jew, you could be a Samaritan, you could be a slave, you could be any one of these people. You could even be people from Largo. You can be a people from way up north in Montana. You could be people all the way across the seas, all the way in the Ukraine. You could be people all the way over Iran, Iraq, and all the way down to Australia. He says, he's the savior of the whole world. And he echoed, these Pharisees, they echoed the same thing that the people at the well said when they realized, when the woman told them that Jesus was for them, this is the savior of the whole world, amen? And Jesus not only came for the Samaritan woman, not only came for the avid follower, not only came for the viral followers, didn't just come for the Pharisees, but he came for you and for so we have these three crowds. We have the avid followers. We have the viral crowd. And then we have the rule followers, the people who are upset that their traditions and their concepts are going to be thrown out the window. We have the people that want to kill Jesus because of what he's saying, and their livelihood is going away. Their mode of income is going away. Everything is going to go into pot because of this man, Jesus, that's riding on a donkey. I wonder if you were to interview these three groups, if you were to crowdsource these groups, if you were to ask each of these groups, what was the concept of this viral video? What was the concept of their viral story? Like, what was their thought process and what did they think? How do we arrive at this video? How do we arrive at this story? I wonder if they were interviewed, would you say to these people, if you're like running your own little social media thing, and you said to the avid followers, you says, we're here, and we just want to know, I'm trying to figure out whether this Jesus story is real. I wonder if you could tell us what your concepts are of this event that happened. The avid followers are like, it was going real good. Lazarus came back from the dead and everything, and it was really good. But then he got on the donkey, and then we were all really nervous because we thought people were going to like knock him off the donkey. And then I remember some scripture from somewhere in Zephaniah, and I knew it was a prophecy, but really we were just really nervous, and I was just glad we got through the whole thing. You can imagine the interviewer like, okay, we got that, yeah. And then you move to the next crowd, the viral crowd, and you say, hey, so what was your experience of the story on that day? What was your experience of this story that went viral? Oh, man, he's still waving his palm. Still waving his palm around. It was so much fun. It was so cool. The Passover has never been like this, but it was packed. It was like 2.5 million people. And we were just going nuts and we were waving. And then all of a sudden, there was this guy on a donkey. It was so much fun. What, did you know the guy on the donkey? No, we just know it was a lot of fun. And then you interview the last crowd, the Pharisees. And they're standing there in their robes and their tassels on the floor and saying, so what was your perception of what happened? What was the video like that you see? What was this story? And the Pharisees say, well, there was some claims that a man came back from the dead. Well, but we're not really sure of the sources. And quite frankly, we don't approve of that, and we'll have to go to the authorities to figure that out. If you were the interviewer, you'd be like, our faith is not founded upon other crowds. Our faith is not founded on what the crowds say. Our faith is not founded on what the avid crowd says, or what the viral crowd says, or what the rule followers say. Our faith is the only one that's founded on an event, on a man, on the death of a man, on the resurrection of a man, and that man is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's his values. It's him that we follow. It is not a crowd. It is not something that somebody says. It's not popular political opinion. It's based on an event, and it's a viral story that's never going away. And we believe that today, amen? We believe that in the depths of our soul. In verse 37 of our scripture, it says, despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. Despite the healings, despite a man coming back from the dead, despite lame men walking, despite people seeing again, some people didn't believe. A lot of people. We believe in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. We believe that he came in on a donkey into Jerusalem. We believe this peace-seeking, donkey-riding rabbi came so that you and I might know him and we might welcome him into our own hearts. And we do that today. We celebrate. We sing. We perpetuate this event. Seek Jesus as your source. Seek Jesus as your source, and he will give you eternal life. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We come to you today, Lord, seeking you, the rabbi on the donkey. And we ask, Lord God, that we would continue to perpetuate this story, that we would continue to perpetuate you coming into our lives. We pray, Lord God, that you would guide us as we do this, especially this week, Lord, as we invite people to be with us. And we pray, Lord God, we would encounter you afresh and anew. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen.